Today's shiur is Masechta Chul and Daf Samach Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Samach Zayin, Amud Aleph, on about 10 lines from the top. The Beir Reb Shmuel Tana. Just a word of introduction to our shiur. In the previous shiur, we identified four different bodies of water. The Torah, and we're going to read these psukim in a moment, speaks about yamim in the cholim, streams and rivers. The Torah says that the only fish, the only creatures that of the yam that we may eat are those that have snapir v'kaskasas. But in our previous year, we also identify three more bodies of water. Ni'itzim v'charitzim are pans that have a bubbling sauce. Kalim, Bairis Sichin Ma'iris, are pits that don't have any source for the water. They're just pools of water. And Kalim, water in a vessel. And as we discussed in the previous year, this halacha, that in order to be able to eat a creature of the yam, it has to have snapper v'kaskeses, as a result of how we learned the Gemara, as the way the Gemara explained, and we'll get to it in a moment, creatures that grow in yamim v'necholim, creatures that go in charitzim v'ne'itzim are prohibited, creatures that are in bairis sichin ma'aris, and certainly those that are in kalim are mutter, even if they don't have snapper v'kaskeses. How did the Gemara get to that result? So we need to read two psukim in Parashat Shemini, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tes and Yud. The pasukim read, as that toich mekol she b'mayim, kol she le'snapper v'kaskeses b'mayim, b'yamim u'mencholim oisim tochelu, kol she ein le'snapper v'kaskeses b'yamim u'mencholim, kol sheretz ha'mayim, kol nefesh ha'chai she b'mayim, sheretz heim lochem. So as the Gemara established in the previous year, looking at pasuk tes, the pasuk says in pasuk tes, as that toich mekol she b'mayim, kol she is that because she ain't snap b'kesses b'mayim? The pasuk says the word b'mayim twice, and then it says b'yamim u'b'necholim oisim tachelu. So even though it's really a klal uprat, the Gemara taught us yesterday that we should manipulate the pasuk and treat it as a klal uprat a klal. And we know what our loch is klal uprat a klal yatadon el ke'ena prat. What does the Torah say where you need snap b'kesses? It's b'yamim u'b'necholim. What is Ke'en HaPrat? Charitz v'nitzim, because they also have a source for the water. And therefore the Gemara established, Charitz v'nitzim have the same din as Yamim v'necholim. Everything else doesn't have that rule. Actually, one more very important point that the Gemara made in the previous year. Oysim tachelu, the Gemara said, was superfluous. So from that we already know that Kalim, those that are in the Kalim, are mutter. And that's why we use the klal prat the klal to say charitzim v'ne'itzim is osur, barisichim aris is mutar. All of this is predicated on explaining this pasuk as a klal prat the klal. And again, I'm following Rashi's opinion. Rashi says that the Beir Reb Shmuel that we're about to begin learning has a problem learning with a klal prat the klal. Why? Because let's understand the entire limud called klal uprat the klal. We, those of us that say kabbanis every morning, can relate to this. There's one limud called klal uprat. What's the halacha about klal uprat? Ein b'chlal el mash b'frat. The prat very much limits the rules. There's another rule called prat the klal, which has just the opposite. Klal nasa moisif el prat, and has a very broad explanation. Now you have a klal prat to klal. There's two perspectives to a klal prat to klal. Do we say the klal prat to klal is essentially a klal prat, and then we'll give a little credence to the last klal, or we say just the opposite. It's really a prat to klal, and we'll give some value to the original klal. The difference between these two approaches is that if you follow the approach that it's really a prat to klal, then you could broaden it. If you could follow the other approach, you could limit it. So the Tana that we've been discussing till now really takes the approach that it's a klal prat. And therefore, he gives the pasuk a very limited interpretation. The Torah says yam necholim, and he only expands it to charitzim and itzim, nothing else. But if you take the other perspective, to klal prat, klal, you're not going to only add charitzim and itzim, you're also going to add baris sichnam aris. And Rashi says, no one agrees with that lahalocha. No one agrees that that's correct lahalocha. So how are we going to get to the right halacha with not using it as a klal prat to klal? So Rishmol has a whole new approach, which is also a very fundamental question, not limited to this sugya. Because when you have a pasuk that's klal prat to klal, you could look at it as a klal prat to klal, or you could look at it as a ribui miyut ribui. Rabbi Shmuel, that we're about to learn, takes the ribui miyut ribui approach. And by taking the ribui miyut ribui approach, he will get to the result that we want to have. And he prefers the ribui miyut ribui because he holds when you have a pasuk like this, it's better to explain as a ribui miyut ribui than a klal prat to klal. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara. For the record, the problem with Rashi's pshat is that everything that's happening in our Gemara now is only how to learn psukim. There's no real nafkamina. And Taisus is troubled by that, because usually when you have two tanoim, there's a nafkamina la'alokha. So Taisus is mechadish, that there are two types of nitzim v'charitzim. And there's some nitzim v'charitzim that bubble and some that don't. And the nafkamina between the two pshatim will be in which nitzim v'charitzim are mutter, are asr, all nitzim v'charitzim according to the first interpretation, only some nitzim v'charitzim. There's another opinion from a safe I saw, Damesek Eliezer, that says we're clearly indicating that, let's use the simplest case that no one argues about, that those found in Kalim are mutter. But what does it mean when it's found in kalim, you're allowed to ingest those shrotzim? Doesn't mean if you're drinking the water from that kalim, there's a sheretz, you're allowed to drink it. But what about it? Are you allowed to take the not that anybody would want to do this, take the sheretz and eat it separately? He wants to say that's the nafkamina. One more interesting question, just to start this year. So as I said, we're starting the Gemara, the Rabbi Shmuel, is following the approach of a ribui miyut ribui. So I go back to the good Jews that say kabbonis every day. Tana Rabbi Shmuel Oima, Shloishes and Midgets, Hatar in the Dreshes. And Ribi Meet Ribui isn't there. And we're saying that that's his position, that you should follow Ribi Meet Ribui. How do we reconcile that very famous Brisa that we say every morning with our Gemara? So I saw three truths into the question. One Teretz is that he's going to look at a Ribi Meet Ribui as really a form of a klal prat to klal. And since klal prat to klal is mentioned, he doesn't have to mention separately ribui miyut ribui. Another approach is that what's the reason we say that braisa? One of the reasons we say that braisa, because there's no machloikas in that braisa. Following the ribui miyut ribui approach is actually debatable if it's a legitimate mahalach in learning. So he doesn't want to mention ribui miyut ribui because that would open up to machloikas, and we don't want to mention any machloikas in that braisa. A third interesting approach is our Gemara, as we're about to read, says the Bei Rabbi Shmuel. How does that price say? Tana Rabbi Shmuel. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel was the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel. Doesn't mean that everybody in Yeshiva agrees with Rosh Yeshiva. So Rabbi Shmuel didn't hold of Ribi Meet Ribi. His Talmidim did. So now let's learn. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. B'mayim Shtein Pa'amim. As I read, the Pasuk says the word B'mayim twice. Says Rabbi Shmuel, it's not to be viewed as a klal prat. It's not to be viewed as a klal prat to klal. A ribu mi umiyit. Ribu mayim. The pasuk begins with the word mayim, so it's riba. It tells us that every type of water it has to have snapa ube kaskasas. The yamim and the cholim miyit. That only in the yamim and the cholim does that halacha apply. Then the Torah repeats the mayim chaz of a riba. Says Rabbi Shmuel, we have here a situation, riba miyut the riba hakol. So it comes to add that this rule that you have to have snapa v'kaskasas applies in other situations. My Rabbi, so ask the Gemara what has been included, charitzim v'ni'itzim, that those that are found in the charitzim v'ni'itzim will be lisur, will be asur, or my miyut, and what will be mutter, Byris Sichin Maris, which will be Lahatera. Ask the Gemara, Ema, why don't we say differently? My Reba, that we should say that not only Acharitzin and the Itzim Asr, but even Byris Besichin and Ma'iris will be Asr. Ah, you'll be asking me my Miyat, so what am I excluding? I say Miyat Kalim, that those that are found in the Kalim are Mutter. Says the Gemara, that we don't need this Ribi Miyat Ribi to teach us. Because as I said at my introductory remarks, the words Isim Techelu already taught us that those that are found in Kalim are Mutter. So I don't need the Ribi Miyat Ribi to teach us. It must be the Ribi Miyat Ribi comes to teach us this, that not only are Kalim Mutter, but even Baris Sichel and Maris are Mutter. Ask the Gemara, Veipachano, a very difficult question. The Gemara is conceding that Kalim is off the table. Kalim is certainly Mutter, we learn from the words Isim Techelu. It's off the table. What is on the, we also have a Ribi Miyat Ribi. Yam Nechalim is Beferish in the Pasuk. The question is, what will we include and what will we exclude? So the way we're learning, and we've been learning already for almost a Amid this way, Charitzev and Itzim are Asr, Baris Sichem Maris are Mutter. Ask the Gemara Eifachana. Maybe we should say just the opposite. And maybe Baris Sichem Iris should be Asr, and Charitzev and Itzim are Mutter. And the Rishonim find this question immensely difficult. Because we, in our previous shiur, explained that Charitzim and Itzim are so much more similar to Yamim and Nechalim than Baris Sichem Aris. So why all of a sudden would we want to, why would we want to think just the opposite? So I saw two answers in the Rishonim. There may be more. One answer is that when we use an approach of Klal Prat to Klal, then logic plays a very important role. But we're not using Klal Prat to Klal. Because what does Klal Prat to Klal say? It has to be Ke'ena Prat. What is most similar? So our logic tells us what's most similar. We're not learning Klal Prat to Klal. We're learning Ribi Miyat Ribi. There are a whole different set of rules to Ribi Miyat Ribi. Logic doesn't play a role. That's one approach I saw in the Rishonim. Another approach I saw in the Rishonim is that an argument could be made, and that's what the Gemara is saying in these two very short words, Ve'epachana, to say just the opposite. And an argument could be made that Boris Sichin and Ma'orois are more similar to Yam and Nechalim than Charitzim and Itzim. Why? Because Yam and Nechalim, the Ran says this, are typically very large bodies of water. And you can have a very large pool, Boris Sichin and Ma'orois. Typically, Charitzim and Itzim, and the words, I remember when we were in Yeshiva, Charitzim and Itzim are like crevices, are smaller. So there could be an argument made that Charitzim and, that Boris Sichin and Ma'orois are more similar to Yam and Nechalim than Charitzim and Itzim. And therefore, we should say that Charitzim and Itzim are Mutter, and Baris Sichem Aris are Asar. Answers the Gemara, we can't come to that conclusion. Ketani Masya, as Masya taught us, the Tani Matis by Yehuda, Mari Isil Rabbis Baris Sichem Aris La Teira. Why is the halacha that those that are found in the Baris Sichem Aris are Mutter? Uloitzi Charitzim and Itzim La Sura. And why do we say that Charitzim and Itzim are Asar? So he says, They're very similar to a vessel, the self-contained. Or might any charitzim and itzim that should be treated like yam and necholim, they're not locked into a body of water that doesn't multiply, that doesn't reproduce. In our previous year, so that's the Rebimiyat Rebi approach. In our previous year, when we were learning the halacha, those that are found in Kalim are Mutter, the Gemara made a sort of ambiguous statement. The Gemara made the statement that the creatures, the Shrotzim, or as I said yesterday, maybe even Dogim, that are found in Kalim, there's a Pasuk that's Mefurish, that's explicit, and there's a Pasuk that's Sosum, that's implicit, that teaches us the Halacha. That's all the Gemara said. But the Gemara didn't say what is the Sosim and what is the Mefurish. So the Gemara goes back to that now. Ask the Gemara, Hai Sosim v'hai Mefurish. Which is the Pasuk that's implicit and which is the Pasuk that's explicit that teaches us that those that are found in the Bairis and Mutter? Says the Gemara, Pligvacha Ravacha Ravina. There's a Machloikis. They're both speaking about the same psukim. They just give it different titles. Charamer, the pasuk, as I started the shiur today, I read two psukim. They're not my psukim, they're Hashem's psukim. The first pasuk tes, perek yud al pasuk tes, is in the positive. Ezeh tochlu. These are what you may eat. Pasuk yud is the negative. Kol she'ein loy. So the first amora says, yesh loy, the pasuk that says that if it has snap of excesses, is the pasuk that's mefurish. And the second pasuk that speaks about it not having is sosum. And the other mandam says just the opposite. Charamah, the second pasuk, anyway, the pasuk that speaks about the fish that don't have snap of kaskesis, is the pasuk to be considered mefurish. And the pasuk v'yeshloi, the pasuk that speaks about the ones that do have snap of the kaskesis, are sosum. Ask now the Gemara, what is the basis for their identifying these psukim this way? My tama, the mandam the yeshloi mefurish. Why is the man the Omer that says that the Pasuk, the first Pasuk is considered the Pasuk of Mefurish? Answers, so he gives a very simple answer. Amlech menehu dukam mishter kalim. I've quoted in today's shir alone many times that this Pasuk ends with the words oisam techelu. And those words, oisam techelu, are the words that teach us that those that are found that in kalim are mutter. That's why it's Mefurish. That's why that Pasuk is Mefurish. And the other Pasuk is only, we get to this conclusion by deduction. So now we have to understand the other mandomer. My time of the mandomer ain't like mefurish. Answers the Gemara, the haihu the kamocha haich. If I wouldn't have the second pasuk, I wouldn't know how to learn how to understand the first pasuk. And it says the Gemara, di avamina, if di mahaich, as the Gemara said in the previous year, yes, the pasuk says it has to be yamim nechalim. Yes, everybody will agree that kalim are very different than yamim nechalim. But we wouldn't necessarily come to the conclusion that kalim are always mutter. But as the Gemara said yesterday, we maybe will come to the opposite conclusion, that kalim are always usser. How do we know not to come to that conclusion? Only because we read Pasuk Yud. Let's read it inside. Dimahayich, if I only had Pasuk Tes, havamina the kalim, afagav the islay namlay techel. You're never allowed to eat what grows in kalim, even if it has snapikas guesses. How do we know not to learn that way? Only because I have Pasuk Yud. We begin now a very important sugya, and that's the sugya of shrotzim. We know that a sheretz hamayim, or sheretz ha'oif, is awesome. But the halacha is that under many circumstances, certainly by sheretz hamayim, as we're discussing, or even under many circumstances in what grows in a fruit, if it didn't move, if it never crawled, the Torah uses the word sheretz ha'shiretz, it's not awesome. Therefore, says Rav Huna, a person should not strain date beer, filter date beer. They used to make beer out of dates. And the dates were many times infested. So the beer was infested. So they used to filter it. But they didn't filter it over a piece of cloth. That was a typical way of filtering in those times. They didn't filter over a piece of cloth because they wanted to keep some of the residue in the beer. So they used to filter over pieces of wood. But what happens is when you filter over pieces of wood, it isn't a great filter. And some of the shrotzim that are in the beer from the dates could go into the cup or to the vessel that you're filtering into, and now it will be moved. Sheretz ha-shiretz. So says the Gemara, he shouldn't do it at night when he can't see what's happening. Maybe some of the shrotzim that are on top will separate out of the original cask for harder nafalakasa and will fall into the cup. And now, if you chas v'shalom eat it, you'll be over sheretz hasheretz al aretz. You're eating sheretz, which is a very serious issue. So I have to take the time to read a Rashi, a very fundamental Rashi. Three lines from the bottom. Rashi says, "Beurta." Rashi says you shouldn't do it at night. Why? Shemit tipol talas alakashim. Your worm may fall out. And since it's night, lo yirena, umasham tipol keli, and there it'll fall into the vessel on the bottom. But now we get to a very important point. Ulamachar, and tomorrow, kishirena, when you'll see this worm in your beer, You won't realize that this was originally in the upper vessel and traveled into the lower vessel. So you're going to think it was always there. What was always there, we just finished learning, what's in a vessel is mutter. To avoid making that mistake, don't do it, says Rashi, says Rav Huna. Rashi is incredibly difficult. What's the problem about tomorrow? Because, and at night, there's no problem. And what happens if I drink the beer at night and I don't see? I still may end up drinking beer that has shrotzim, that are usser. Why is Rashi only speaking about tomorrow? So there are paiskim that say, and this is extremely relevant, la'aloch la'maisa, that even though the halacha is, and this gemara is a raya to that halacha, the way you have a concern that there may be shrotzim, where it's a miyat hamotzui, which we usually say is about 10%, that there's shrotzim, we have to be concerned. However, if you don't see it, and you don't have any, you don't have to be worried. And you're eating the sherets. So, there are paiskim to suggest that since shrotzim, nobody enjoys eating shrotzim, and you didn't know that you're doing an avera, and you didn't know it was shrotzim, so that's why it's mutter. And you could eat the beer at night. It's only by day where you see them, that's a problem. Very big kula. It seems that that's what Rashi's saying. Because Rashi's only worried about daytime, not nighttime. There's a fantastic story. This question about eating or drinking something that has shrotzim that you don't see, and you certainly don't have any hanah from, are you allowed to or not, is a question of Yisrael Salanta Shent Ashayel Tzibki Vega. What is the halacha? Yisrael Salanta never got an answer. Rabbi Kivega passed away, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanta meets Rabbi Kivega's son, Rabbi Shlomo Eger. He says, you know, I sent your father a very important shaila, and I never got a tshuva. He says, my father wrote you a tshuva. Simon Ches, the shaila of tshuva, Rabbi Kivega, discusses this issue, or a similar issue. It's not addressed to Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. He says, the reason my father didn't ever write you a tshuva explicitly, send you to tshuva, even the sefer mention your shaila, because you lived in the city of Salant, and in the city of Salant, the Rav held, like we just explained Rashi, that it's mutter. So Rav Kivega did not want to write you a tshuva le'isser. Because Rav Kivega holds that there's a concept of misasik, that if you do something that you don't know you're doing wrong, it's not an aveira. Says Rav Kivega, that's not true, it is an aveira. And by achila, even if you don't have a no, it's always an Aveira. So you can't take the attitude, well, I didn't see the talas, and that's why it's mutter, and that's why Rabbi Kivega holds it would be usser even at night. But since the Rav of your city didn't agree, he didn't want to write the tshuva to you. What's the problem with Rabbi Kivega? What's he going to do with Rashi? What's he going to do with Rashi? Rashi clearly seems to say that the problem is only lamachar, l'kashirena, tomorrow when you're going to see it. Today, when you don't see it, Rashi doesn't seem to see it as a problem. So the way the Mefarshim, most parts, this is a very serious issue in Halacha, explain Rashi, that at night there's a Sfek Sfeika. Why? There's a Sufik if there's a Talas there. And even if there's a Talas there, it might not have been Pirish. So since it's a Sfek Sfeika, we could be Mekel. By day, on the other hand, there's no Sfek Sfeika, because Rashi says, L'chish Yirena. By day you see it. So you only have one suffix, was a pirish or not. That's why by night Rashi's mekel, and by day he's machmer. Ask the Gemara, if our concern is that if the worm moves, it becomes asur, yehochim mebana nami. So why do we have to speak about a case where I'm filtering beer? Even if it's in its original cask, dilma parish ledafna demana, maybe it'll climb up the wall, for hard enough for lamana, and then it falls down the wall, and it's pirish. So what do I have to get into the filtering issue? Answers the Gemara, Hasam Hainer Revisa. As long as it's an original basket, barrel, the fact that it moves up and down the walls doesn't bother me. Ask the Gemara, not Temra. Where do we know Hainer Revisa, the fact that this is where it was originally, therefore we don't have a Shaila? Where do we get this concept from? The Tanya, because the Brisa says, Menayin l'rabbis b'iris sichrem iris, sheshoicha v'shoisimhen. And the Rosh makes a very important observation. We learned at the beginning of our shiur today that what's in Baris Sichrim Iris is mutter. But says the Rosh, it's only mutter if you bend down and you drink the water, and there may be something in the water. But to go pick up the water is usur. Veda nimna, and it's not, you don't have to start. Tamlaim toichum akosh v'mayim. Ask the Gemara, but if it's in a bar, why shouldn't we be concerned? And this was a halacha that, as I said at the beginning of today's shiur, everyone agrees with. But ask the Gemara, v'leichesh, why should we not be concerned? Dimu parash l'dafna, v'hada daf, v'hada nafal. And it should be usur. What's the answer? Because that's where it's that's where it always was. And the fact that it moves around in its original place is not troublesome to me. Hachanami, the same thing by the beer. If it's still in its original cask, it's mutter. Only if it leaves its original cask, that's when it becomes usur. And in fact, the Beis Yosef already says, this was very relevant to a big shiloh about the water in New York, that if it goes from one bar to another bar, and they're all connected, or from one vessel to another vessel, and they're all connected, it's still considered that it wasn't pirish. Continues the Gemara. Amla Rav Chizla Rav Huna, Tanya the Messiah. I'll bring you a raya. The Pasuk says, Kol Sheretz HaSheretz Al Aretz, the Brisa says, the Rabbis Yavchushin Shesinin. It's some sort of a worm that comes out when you filter. But what do we see? When do we stop being concerned about this worm? Time of the synonym, when you filtered it. Because that's when it went from one keli to another keli through the filter. Halai synonym, shari. Continues the Gemara. Amishmul. Kisha shetliya bi aveha. If you have a fruit that's attached to a tree, and there's a worm in that tree, in that fruit on the tree, it's a surah. Why? Mishum sheretz hasheretz al aretz. Since that worm is on the fruit, and the fruit is connected to the ground, the case that we're speaking about, it's considered sheretz hasheretz al aretz. Say many rishonim. When will this halacha apply? Machlokes rishonim. I don't want everybody to think that everybody agrees to this. Only in a fruit where the worm can move around. But let's say there's a worm in a bean, for example, which is a very tight fit, and there's a worm in that bean that is connected to the ground, but it doesn't have where to move around, it's a tight area, then you don't have to be worried about sheretz or sheretz or laretz. Rashba disagrees. Says the Gemara, Leim Mesaile, let's bring a raya to what Shmuel says. The Tanichadot, there's one braisa that says, Ala aretz, lahaysim etzazizim shebedoshim, vesiyatushim shebeklelisim, v'talash, v'tamarim, v'shebegregris, all of these different worms that are found in all of, in the beans or in these fruits, there is no problem of shrotzim. V'tanya edach, but then there's another brisa that says, kol ha-sheretz ha-sheretz al-aretz, l'rabbis, talash, shebeikrizisim, v'shebeikrigfanim. That if there's a talas in the tree, it's usur. How do I reconcile these two brises? Suggest the Gemara, my laugh, the way to reconcile these two brises, both of them are referring to a situation where you find the worm in the fruit. The difference is, if the fruit is still connected to the tree, that's connected to the ground, if it's not correct, connected, then it's not sheretz hasheretz alaretz, because it's no longer connected to the ground, and it's not sheretz hasheretz alaretz. So before we go further, because this halach that I'm going to say now, everybody agrees, if you could know that you have a worm in a fruit that wasn't in the fruit when it was still connected to the ground, that worm only formed after the fruit was disconnected, and it didn't go out and come in, but it started in the fruit itself, and the Rama already in Shulchan Aruch says you could tell by seeing in which direction the hole is, where the hole is the hole from the outside or the hole from the inside, it would be mutter. Because Shmuel is only saying that a worm found in a fruit is an issue when it's connected. Now the Gemara goes a step further. Loi, idiv, idiv, beveha. This mandomer disagrees with Shmuel. And he says that a worm found in the fruit that didn't leave the fruit is always mutter. If the fruit is connected to the ground, why don't we say sheretz, sheretz, alaretz? So Mefarshim explained that opinion. Because we know kol ha'omer likatzei it's kekatzitz dami, that the halacha views something that's supposed to be cut as if it's already cut. So since this fruit, nobody leaves the fruit in the tree forever, is going to be cut, We can't call it Sheretz or Sheretz El Aretz. So how will he reconcile these two brises? Vlakasha. Hava Peri. If it's in the fruit, it's always mutter. Even if the fruit is connected to the tree, which is connected to the ground, Hava Lina. If it's in the tree is not going to be cut. So worm found in the tree is always usur. And he says a gval de garaya, this man d'amar, that his opinion is correct. Dekanami, diktani, let's read the two brises, says the Gemara. The brisa that says that it's usur didn't speak about the fruit. It spoke about the tree. Talash b'ikri zeisim v'shibikri gefanim. It spoke about the trunk of the tree. Why didn't it speak about the fruit? Obviously, this brisa holds, it doesn't make a difference if the fruit is connected or not. It's always mutter. It's only nafkamina if it's the fruit or the tree. Shmamina. Continues the Gemara. Boy, Reb Yosef, Pirsha Umeisa Mahu. If, as we've been saying, if the talas leaves the fruit, if the talas leaves the fruit, it becomes asur. So not as a question, if it left the fruit, and before it really went anywhere, it died. Machlokes Rishonim, how to learn this shaila in the Gemara. Some Rishonim say that it died before it left the fruit. Others say if it died before it left the fruit, it would be mutter. It died as it's leaving. Pirshamei Sumahu. Miktsasumahu. What would be halacha if only part of the worm crawled, not all of it? Or, la'aver olam. It completely crawled out of the fruit, but it never hit the ground. And all these questions, Gemara says, Teiku, and the Shulchan Aruch says, since we're dealing with a Suffolk deraisa l'chumra, and we have to be machmer. Similarly, asked the Gemara, Bar Rav Ashi, and just for the record, the Mefarshim explained that every one of these questions is built on the previous question. Pirsha Mesa Mahu, if that's Osir, then Miktsasa will certainly be Osir. The way to understand the Gemara is like this. If Pirsha Mesa is Mutter, maybe Pirsha Miktsasa is, because it's dead. Pirsha Miktsasa, where it's not dead, may be worse. And if Pirsha Miktsasa is Mutter, Lavra Oilu, where the whole thing came out, may be worse. It's like an Imtim Tzloimer. Imtim Tzloimer, this is Mutter, maybe this should be Osir. And the next Gemara is explained similarly. Baravashi, Lagag Tamara Mahu. If it went up all the way to the top of the date, which is unusual, Lagag Garinosa Mahu, or started in the pit, and it went out from the pit to the top of the pit, is that called Pirish? Mitamara Mahu, you have two dates right next to each other, and it crawls from one to the next. And here again, the Gemara remains with a teiku. And again, we look in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that we have to be machmer in all of these situations. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Sheshet Bereid Raviti. Kukiani Asiri. The worms that are found. First, let's learn the Gemara simple. Rashi explains Kukiani are worms that are found in the liver and in the lungs of an animal. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. And Rashi says that the worms that are found in the liver and the lungs are osur, because we have to be concerned, as the Gemara will explain in a moment, that those worms came from outside the animal. And since they came from outside the animal, we need to think that it was pirish and becomes osur. Many Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch is machmer for this opinion, says we're not only speaking about the insides of an animal, we're also speaking about the inside of a fish. And worms found in the inside of the fish, in the B'nai Ma'ayim, is awesome. And that, those Rishonim say, is included in the category of Kukiyani. Tosfos says that way. Says the Gemara, again, Amar Rav Sheshet Bereid Ravidi, Kukiyani Asiri. The worms found either in the inside of an animal or perhaps in the inside of a fish is asur. My tama, me alma asur. We need to be concerned that they came from outside the animal into the animal. Ask the Gemara, maskula Rav Ashi, ask Rav Ashi, if that is your concern, imi alma asur, lishtaka berfesarei, what does that mean? That the animal ate worms. So it should have gone through its digestive system. The liver and the lungs are not part of the digestive system. Isn't the fact that they're in the liver and the lungs rather than in the stomach, a clear indication that they didn't come through the digestive system, but rather formed in the animal itself. And since it formed in the animal itself, it was never pirish, and it's never usur. Amrav Sheshit, Maskarav Ashi, Imi Alma Osu, Vishtaku Derek Beisarei, says the Gemara, Ikad Amri, and because of this question, there's an Ikad Amri that says, Amrav Sheshit Berei, Derev Idi, Kukiyani Shari, if they're found in the liver and the lungs, it's mutter, it's mutter. The Imi Kama Kasu, because as the Gemara says, if it came a different way, my time and my gavli. We have to say that they formed in the stomach, because if they didn't form in these organs, why are they there and not in the digestive system? Amrav Ashi, Pshita, this halacha is Pashit, because as we just said, Dima Almakasu, if they came from outside, Lishtaka Derek Beisarei. However, says the Gemara, Vehilchasa, Kukuyani, Asiri, Maitama, Mainam Naim, Vailebosye. Sometimes the animal is sleeping, and the worm crawls into its nose, and that's how it gets into the lungs and the liver, and not into the digestive system. So we're up to right now, before we go further, La Aloch Lamaisa, worms that are found inside an animal, or inside a fish, we need to be concerned, even if it's not in the digestive system, they somehow got into the animal, into the fish, and therefore also. However, says the Gemara, Dan the Basri, Asiri, similarly, if worms are found in the meat, in the flesh of an animal, we have the same concern. However, the Kavri, if worms are found in the flesh of a fish, Shari. Why? Because we say that those worms did not form on the outside, but they formed in the fish itself. And therefore, worms that are found in the walls of the fish, says the Shulchan Aruch HaMutter. Up to the point where there's a very big debate in Halacha. When you find worms in the inside, that worms that are found in the flesh of the fish, you can't argue over. The Gemara says, Beferish it's mutter. The Shulchan Aruch says it that way. Question is, when you find worms in the B'nai Ma'ayim, in the inside of the fish, what does that tell us? Does that tell us that, you know what, even the worms in the inside should be mutter because they came from the flesh to the inside? Or does that tell us that what's in the inside might have traveled to the flesh? It says the Gemara, Amla Ravina Le'ime, Ivlali Vani Eichel, mix for me this fish and I'll eat it with the worms in them. And here there's a very big machlokes of mafarshim how to learn the Gemara. Some mafarshim take the opinion that what Ravina was saying is a very big chiddush. We know there are worms in the fish, and we know, as we're learning in our shiur today, how serious of an issa worms are. So he wanted to show everybody that this is the correct halacha. So he told his mother, "I want to eat it and mix it in. I want to show everybody I'm eating these worms." It's one approach. Most mafarshim don't learn the Gemara that way. Most of Farshim say that even if they're mutter, it's not something you want to eat. People don't want to eat worms. So he told his mother, prepare the fish dish without me seeing the worms. When are worms repugnant? When you see them. But if you have a dish and you don't know what's in the dish, you don't really know. You just eat if it's good. So he said, when you prepare for me the fish dish, just make a nice mixture and I shouldn't see what's there. And in fact, and I think I discussed this in a previous year already, the Paiskim say from here, it's hard to understand this Gemara. If there's an Isra about the Shaksu when you eat a worm, so what's the difference if it's mixed or it's not mixed? The answer is the about the Shaksu, one of the only Isurim in the Torah, is a subjective Isra. And if something bothers you, you'll be over about the Shaksu. And if it doesn't bother me, I'm not over about the Shaksu. And this very worm, when it's on its own, may be Baal Teshaksu, and when it's part of a mixture, it's not Baal Teshaksu. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rabbi Mesharish Bereid Rav Achal Arvina. Ma'ishtam ahadu Tanya, v'shtu nevlosim Teshaksu, l'rabbis has had ronashim b'behema. We just said that the worms that are found in the flesh of the animal are asur. And he was saying the worms that are found in the flesh of the fish are mutter. I'm like, hakehashti, you can't compare to say. Behema b'shchitu hu d'mishter. The Gemara says a very big chiddush. You have a worm in the flesh of the animal. So, we've been learning Masechta Chulin for many blot. How are you allowed to eat an animal? The way you're allowed to eat an animal is by shchita. But shchita wasn't set for worms. So when you checked behema and those worms are there, there was nothing that made it mutter. B'shchitu had mishara, v'hani, and when we speak about worms, midlo kamahana lo shchita b'surayu kamayim. Shchita doesn't make them mutter, and they remain with their old avodagim, as we've been speaking, b'sifa b'alma mishteri. You don't have to do anything. You could eat dagim, as we said, just kill the fish. V'hani kegavlan, so if you kill those worms, and therefore fish worms that form in the flesh are more lenient than animal worms that form in the flesh from the flesh itself. What is the isser on the worms? What is the isser on the worms that are in the flesh of an animal? Big machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say it remains with the isser of sheretz. Other rishonim say it falls into the category of evim and achai. Machlokes Rambam and Ravid, if it could form into the Isra of Eva Menachai after the animal is dead. That means what happens if you have a dead piece, you have a piece of meat, worms form in it. So the Isra of Sheretz does make a difference if the animal is dead or alive. But the Isra of Eva Menachai, the Rambam says, could even be after the animal is dead. The Rav disagrees. There's a very big nafkamina la'alocha. Because as we've learned and will learn many times, goyim are allowed to eat shrotzim. Goyim are not allowed to eat Eva Menachai. So are you allowed to sell a goy a wormy piece of meat? If the Isser is Eva Menachai, you're not allowed to. If the Isser is Isser Sheretz, then you may. Finishes off the Gemara Perek. Tana Baran, the Pasuk says, Hoylech al-Gochen, Zen Nochesh. Kol l'rabes ha-shilshel, v'sa-doim l'shilshel. Al-Aba, ze akrif, scorpion. Kol hoylech l'rabes as a chuposis, as a diamond chuposis, mabur glimes the nadal, add coal, the rabbis is kol a doima, that's a diamond a doima, different creatures with many legs. Tanya Rabbi Yosef ben Damascus Omer, Leviathan, we all know that the Gemara says that when Mashiach comes, one of the things we're going to get to eat is the dog ha-Leviathan, says the Gemara, dag tahu, shnemar, gava afike miganim. Tacht of Chadu de Cheris, says the Gemara, Fiki Meganim, Elu Kaskasim Shaboy. Those are the Kaskasim that we say a kosher fish has to have. Tacht of Chadu de Cheris, Elu Sampirim Shabach Behen. And that's why it's a kosher fish. So Mepharshim are very troubled in understanding this Gemara. Mashiach's coming, the Korif. And the Kadosh Baruch is giving us Leviathan. So Kadosh Baruch is going to give us something not kosher. So there's a famous verse from the Chazon Ish. Very sharp for us from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says, even if God gives you food, you have to check if it's kosher. But what's pshat in the Gemara? So I saw three different approaches. One approach is that the Gemara wants to say that the Leviathan is in the category of a fish. Simple as pshat. Masha says this pshat. That the Leviathan is in the category of a fish, and therefore all the halachas of fish that we just finished learning will apply to the Leviathan that has to have kesses for snapir. One approach. A different approach goes back to a concept that we discussed earlier in the Masechta. Some Sofer says this pshat. The Leviathan, the Gemara tells us, was already created Shesh Shemei Bereishis. During the Shesh Shemei Bereishis, there were no Hilchas Kashrus. If you recall, we learned the Gemara early in the Masechta that when Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, there was a man that says he didn't have to do Shechita. And the Gemara says if you had food left over, you could continue eating it. So you would think that the Leviathan that was created before Hilchas Kashrus, even if it's not kosher, you could still eat it because it came from before the way Hilchas Kashrus teaches us the Gemara that it's a kosher fish. A third pshat is that there are Midrashim that say that there'll be a new world when Mashiach comes, and one of the rayas that the halachas, some of the halachas in Hilchas Kashrus will change, because the Gemara says that the Shor Habor, that's going to be eaten by the Sudasa Shel Mashiach, will be slaughtered with the claws of the Leviathan. You can't shech with a claw. So it's a proof that the halakhs may change. So we may think that the Leviathan really is not a kosher fish. But when Mashiach comes, the laws will change. It teaches us the Gemara that when Mashiach comes, all the halakhs that we're learning in Kashrus will still remain.